This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettigy along with Charlie Long. 5:45, Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature, something we talked about in the first hour of Sports Talk here. Pete Thamel breaks the story from Fox News, Fox Sports, that the Saints have hired a new linebackers coach, Peter Sermon. Peter was a former University of Oregon linebacker, played 7 seasons in the NFL with the Tennessee Titans, has coached the last 5 years as linebackers coach, defensive coordinator for the University of California, the Golden Bears. Bob knows a lot about that. He's got one of his daughters that went to University of Cal. So Peter Sermon looks as though he is the newest member of the Saints coaching staff and now the second guy that has primarily coached in the college ranks coming over to the Saints yesterday. Terry Joseph comes over, and he had not coached. Now, he's coaching NFL players, now wherever he was, if it was at Notre Dame or if it was at Texas, but joining the staff as the pass game defensive coordinator and mostly working with the secondary, and they'll hire another secondary coach. Yesterday, we started our mock draft, got all the way to 22. With the Saints, I had Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. Charlie had Armon Membu. I had a lot of people ask me about the Cowboys. I had them selecting Armon Membu. Charlie went with Ashton Jeanty. Now, I had him going much earlier. I had him going to the Jets at running back from Boise State. I think we both had Will Campbell going to Chicago.
Yes, we both had Will Campbell going to Chicago and the Tennessee Titans taking Cam Ward with the first overall
pick. Or somebody with the top spot.
Cam Ward is, and as we mentioned, Cam Ward's not the best player in this draft, but he's going to go with the number one overall pick just because of the need for quarterback.
Abar's always right about that. Quarterbacks trump them all.
That is true.
So we finished at 22 with the Los Angeles Chargers. Adam selecting Darius Alexander, defensive tackle from Toledo. For me, it came down to Derek Harmon, Darius Alexander. I went with Alexander from Toledo. So we had the 23 spot, Green Bay Packers. I got him going with Shamir Stewart, defensive end from Texas A&M. Man, he's all potential.
Yep.
He's never put up huge numbers, but he's an athletic freak. And somebody's going to fall in love with him as an athlete and feel as though coaching will get more production from it. So at 23, I'm going with the Packers selecting Shamir Stewart, defensive end, Texas A&M.
Speaking of athletic freak, Mike, I got them taking a freak in the cornerback room, Savon Revel, cornerback from East Carolina. And, Mike, you know, another guy that's really kind of all potential. The issue is the torn ACL.
Yep.
Now, we talked with Joe DeLeon yesterday. Joe had Savon ranked number 7 on his big board, which that's the highest that I've seen him. I still think he's a first-round talent. So I think, but, you know, maybe teams will be scared a little bit. It is a little bit risky to take him because of the torn ACL that he suffered early this past season. But if you're talking about a major freak athlete in the secondary, Savon Revel goes to the Green Bay Packers at pick 23 for me.
At 24, Minnesota Vikings, they need certainly help in the secondary, cornerback or safety. But I went with Malachi Starks from Georgia. Smart guy, rangy. has played in the slot over the last 3 years, 197 tackles for Malachi Starks and 6 pass interceptions. So, but he can play a lot of different positions. And again, he's played some in the slot, some at free safety. The Vikings need some help in the coverage part of the game. And I'll go with a guy that has been a playmaker on a really, really good defense.
I agree with you about the position need. I go with the best player available in the secondary because Malachi Starks is a little bit far gone from me. I think I had him going 13 to the Dolphins. I have them taking Jahdae Barrett, the cornerback from Texas. You had him going a little bit earlier to the Denver Broncos. The Jim Thorpe Award winner, a guy that can play multiple positions in the secondary for the Minnesota Vikings. They take him at pick number 24.
At 25, Houston Texans, and I thought about offensive line here, and if Josh Simmons could pass a physical and everything's okay with his knee, he would certainly be a possibility. But I'm going with Amika Buka, from wide receiver from Ohio State, one of the best route runners in his draft class, if not the best. He is so smooth and so quick to get into and out of his cut and his break. And also, he's sure-handed in traffic. But this number jumped out at me. During his college career, he's caught 205 passes. 24 of them have went for touchdowns.
Wow.
And that's a pretty good scenario when you look at 205 catches, 24 and going for touchdowns.
The one word that comes to mind when I watch Emeka Buka is polished.
Oh.
He is NFL ready, Mike. That is a guy that you can plug and play instantly. I had him going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as kind of a Chris Godwin replacement because I'm not sure if Chris Godwin's going to stay in Tampa. It's to be determined. This is why this is our mock one, right? We'll figure out more things once free agency kind of comes around. For the Houston Texans, I agree with the need at wide receiver. There's also a major need in the interior offensive line. So, perfect fit here. Tyler Booker, the offensive guard from Alabama, is on my board. I take him to the Houston Texans at pick number 25.
Man, he's a wide body.
That's oh, yes, he is.
He's a big dude. At 26, LA Rams, and this is posted on WWL Twitter and also on Facebook, also on my Twitter and Facebook site. I've got more people ask me about this pick than any other.
Yeah.
The Rams at 26, Jackson Dart. Quarterback, Ole Miss. Somewhere along the line, Jackson Dart, some team is not going to say it. Oh, he's a second-round pick. He's going to tell them, and then they're going to end up picking him in round one. The Rams really had a lot of interest in Bo Nix last year when he came out of Oregon. And who knows what will happen with Matt Stafford. Whatever happens, it's short-term. Because if he signs a deal with the Rams, it's 2 years. Or they might trade him. I'm going to go with Jackson Dart, Ole Miss.
You know, Mike, it's kind of funny when you're looking at, we talked about Jackson Dart could be a late first round pick. The back end of this first round, there are two spots that would make sense for Jackson Dart. Otherwise, if he's going to be a late first round pick, a team's going to have to trade up and get him. The two spots that make the most sense for me, the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21 and the Los Angeles Rams at pick 26. Otherwise, the Denver Broncos, they got Bo Nix, Chargers have Herbert. The Packers have Love, the Vikings, McCarthy, we'll see what happens there. But then the Texans got Stroud, Ravens with Lamar, Detroit's got Goff. Maybe, I don't know about Detroit, potentially. Washington's got their QB of the future with Jaden Daniels, Buffalo, Kansas City, Philadelphia. You know, those are the two spots, Pittsburgh and the Rams, that I think could be landing spots for Jackson Dart if he were to go in the back end of the first round. Otherwise, a team would have to trade up for him. Now, for me, Mike, I'm going with offensive line for the Rams here. Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle from Ohio State, another guy that we're really fascinated to see what his medicals look like after the combine. I don't think he's doing any kind of workouts or anything like that.
I think they just want to look at the structure and how quickly he can come back from that.
Right.
The other guy, too, is Josh Connerly. From Oregon.
I think, going very soon.
Yeah. Those two tackles there. At 27, the Baltimore Ravens, and they always seem to have a defensive guy kind of fall right in their damn lap, and they make the best of it. So, with 27th overall pick, Donovan Ezekiro, that defensive end, 3-4 outside linebacker from Boston College. Donovan, super smart young man. Super productive, too. Last year, in a lot of double teams, Ezekiro, 80 tackles, 21 tackles for losses, 16.5 quarterback sacks, 3 forced fumbles. Now, I think everybody wants to see how he measures.
Right.
And height, weight, that sort of thing. But you talk about a productive player who's smart, great instincts. Mm-hmm. And you see him on tape, he rarely takes a false step to the ball. So I'm going with Donovan Ezeraku, outside linebacker, defensive end, Boston College to the Ravens.
He's a speed demon coming off that edge, Mike. I like that pick a lot. I also have them addressing edge. And this is, I think Daniel Jeremiah had this pick, and it's been sticking in my head because it just feels like the perfect Ravens pick. And I'm going with Shamar Stewart, the edge from Texas A&M. As you mentioned, not a lot of production from Texas A&M in his collegiate career. However, the potential, and I know that's the dreaded P word, potential of this guy, Mike, it feels like Baltimore is going to draft him and he's going to be a terror for years to come. He's built like Hercules. And if the defensive staff of Baltimore can get him to tap into that untapped potential, he's going to be a stud for the Ravens.
At 28, Detroit Lions. And this is a team that has centered around some Alabama players. I think they head right back and put the drilling rig right back on in Tuscaloosa. Jihad Campbell, the outside linebacker. Well, he's played inside and outside for Alabama. Man, super fast, rangy, great pass rusher off the edge. That's where I think he's got the most potential. If you look at the Lions, they're in need of somebody in their front seven that can be a playmaker. Jihad Campbell can be that type of guy.
I'm going with a guy that just feels like a Dan Campbell player, Mike, and that's Jack Sawyer, the edge from Ohio State. I feel like they like the idea of an edge, you know, presence opposite of Aiden Hutchinson once he finally gets back healthy. And I think Jack Sawyer, who has a ton of college experience from Ohio State, is a plug-and-play guy that can help their defense right off the bat.
At 29, the Washington Commanders, who I think will be aggressive in free agency. They do have some money to spend. But if I'm looking at a big need, it's to add a guy that can stretch the field for Jaden Daniels. Matthew Golden, wide receiver, Texas. Last year caught four. He started, actually. He was a Houston guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a Cougar and then transferred to Texas last year. 58 catches. He averaged 17 yards a catch, 9 touchdowns. Also, he is a really good return man. He's averaged in college 25.8 yards per kickoff return. So he can help you in both spots there. So I have the Commanders picking Matt Golden, wide receiver, Texas.
He also kind of saved his best for late in the season, too, Mike. He had a huge game against Georgia in the SEC championship game. He also had a great performance against Arizona State in the first playoff matchup that they had. So I like the pick a lot. I was considering going offensive weapon. I instead decided to go defensive weapon, kind of best player available on the board, and that was Jihad Campbell, the linebacker from Alabama that you just talked about going to the Detroit Lions. Similar situation. Dan Quinn gets kind of a leader on that defense right off the bat with Jihad Campbell.
The 30th pick, Buffalo Bills, and they could use help along the defensive line. This name keeps popping back up, but I went with the edge guy. James Pierce Jr., defensive end from Texas, a flash guy.
Yeah.
Man, he comes off the snap. He's pedal to the metal. He's a guy that's wired a little differently. So you're going to have to understand how to deal with him at times. But the last 2 years, 28 tackles for losses, 17 and a half quarterback sacks, and also 2-3 forced fumbles. Man, I love his effort. Now, again, he might not personality-wise jive exactly what you want, but, hey, not everybody's Watusi. Buffalo Bills, James Pierce Jr. From Tennessee.
James will come off the board in just a second here, Mike. The quote-unquote character concerns. I love his fit in Philadelphia, but we'll get to that in a second. For the Buffalo Bills at pick 30, I have them getting a beef player in the middle, and that is Tyleek Williams, defensive tackle from Ohio State. And Tyleek is someone that I would love for the Saints to get at pick 40 if he's there and play nose tackle, just a complete run stuffer right up the gut. At the same time, he's like a wall, Mike. And I think that the Buffalo Bills could kind of use a bigger piece up front. And so I go Tyleek Williams, the defensive tackle from Ohio State for them at pick 30. Once again, I would love for him to fall there at pick 40, but I saw the fit. I liked the fit. I took him for the Bills.
At 31, Kansas City Chiefs, they pick a guy who is a one-star recruit coming out of South Dakota, and it's Gray Zabel, who's played guard and tackle. Matter of fact, he's played right tackle, left tackle, right guard. And I remember talking to Jim Nagy about this. He's like, Mike, guess what? When he comes to the Senior Bowl, we're going to play him at center. He looked like a natural. So, man, when you watched how the Eagles destroyed the Chiefs up front, you better get help for Patrick Mahomes, Gray Zabel, offensive lineman, North Dakota State.
So the Chiefs had Joe Tooney playing left tackle late in the season and into their playoff run. He's a guard, Mike. Play him at his natural position, move him back into left guard, and get your left tackle of the future. And that is Josh Connerly Jr., the left tackle from Oregon. I agree with you 1,000%. Offensive line is the number one need for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they happen to have a really good one fall into their laps at pick 31.
At 32 in the final selection, and you would figure that with the Eagles, they love SEC players. That is something Howie Roseman absolutely spends a lot of time along with his scouts. Nick Emmanuori, the safety from South Carolina. And you talk about a guy that looks like somebody shot him out of a cannon. On every play, he's running up the field, and he is going to test through the charts. In high school, he played wide receiver and middle linebacker. So he's sort of learning that safety spot. You talk about a playmaker, Emmanuori, and you would figure the Eagles, that's all they need is another big-time guy for their secondary. Nick Emmanuori is the guy for me.
Yeah, the rich get richer, Mike. And I consider taking Darius Alexander here, the defensive tackle from Toledo, because Milton Williams is apparently likely going to be moving on in free agency. However, we don't know what's going to happen there. I ended up taking one of my favorite fits in this draft, and it's because, you know, the quote-unquote character concerns. Philadelphia doesn't care about character concerns. They drafted Jalen Carter. It's not an issue for them. James Pierce Jr. is on the board. He's the best player available, and he adds another rotational pass rusher to that defensive front that's going to terrorize offenses for years to come. James Pierce Jr. at 32.
That's our mock draft, and again, you can see it on WWL Radio's X and also Facebook, along with mine at Mike Detillier on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll go over it throughout the week also. When we come back, Ryan Roberts will give us his countdown to the NFL Combine, also taking a look at some of the players he's looking to keep a close eye on there right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettie along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, covers the NFL draft, college football for A to Z Sports, Ryan Roberts. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Before we get into some combine draft talk, I'd like for you, because I know close to the Notre Dame program, Terry Joseph has landed here with the Saints. Be coaching in the secondary. And he spent some time with the Irish there, and everybody, oh, he's a college coach. What? He's coaching NFL players. Look, all the guys that went on from that secondary onto the NFL. Most people remember Kyle Hamilton, but that was also three other guys that he coached that went on to the NFL. A little bit about Terry Joseph's stay at Notre Dame.
Yeah, no, he was very well respected. Obviously, like you said, he kind of started this little bit of a wave of, because Notre Dame has had quite the surgence on the back end. Obviously him working mostly with the safeties during his time in Notre Dame, but Kyle Hamilton before that, obviously, there was, you had Julian Love, you had Troy Pride. Yeah, like there's a lot of really good football players in that secondary. And Coach Joseph, I know from everyone that I've talked to in the program that's been there for a while, kind of, the guys that have just consistently been there on the recruiting side and not as much on the coaching side anymore, I guess. But he was always a guy that people thought was a really good technical coach, a guy that was really like down to the details, right? The fundamentals, the step here, step there, false steps, like all that type of stuff is something that he was kind of known for. So, and obviously he did a good job getting some talent in the room, So I think he has a good eye for talent, and he was always a really respected coach from a technical perspective.
Staying on the Notre Dame beat, Charlie and I were going through this in our little mock draft, but Benjamin Morrison, had he not had the injury with the hip surgery and everything, he would be a surefire first-round pick. But I also know how the NFL is, and I saw it happen last year with two defensive backs, Cooper DeJean, who I had it ranked in the first round. I thought he'd be a first-round pick. Fell into the second because of the leg fracture. And then I was right on that one, but I was wrong on that one, but I was right on this one because I thought the foot surgery, the Kool-Aid McKinstry, would keep him out of round one, and it did. The Saints traded up in round two to get him. Your thoughts on Morrison, who, man, he is another guy that you watched him play. He kind of shut down one side of the field for you. The big question mark is how healthy is he? And with a hip injury, that ability to turn and switch and, go with a receiver, that's always going to be a little bit of a question when you're coming off that type injury.
Yeah, like you said, it was pretty easy to see early in his career that he was going to be a tremendous player. One of his first matchups was, and he didn't start the game, but he came in and he played a lot against Marvin Harrison Jr. when he was a true freshman, and he did a great job. Had two actually really nice performances against Marvin Harrison Jr., both in his freshman and sophomore years. And he is one of, because he comes from a very athletic family. His dad played in the NFL for a little bit. I think he's got a couple sisters that play like college basketball, one that plays volleyball. So like he comes from a really, really athletic family, but he's really smart as well. Like you can tell that he is a player's son, a guy that's kind of seen it, right? And from an early stage, you just saw, obviously he had good hip fluidity, he had good movement skills overall, but like he was an advanced technical player. His work in press and his understanding of spacing and how to understand, what is trying to be developed in front of you. Like he did it from a very early age, which was super impressive. The biggest knock on him coming into the season, which wasn't able to be answered, is he has a little bit of average to below average play strength, right? And the fact that not only the hip injury that you talked about that required surgery that shut him down early this season, he also had a preseason this past year, a preseason shoulder surgery as well. So we're talking about in a 12-month calendar year, he's had shoulder surgery and a hip surgery. And hips obviously can be super tricky, like you mentioned, right? Like having the ability to turn and run, to plant and go, like those things are is so important at the cornerback position. So I do think it's going to cause him to slide. I think most people kind of in the know are kind of projecting him somewhere in the early to mid second round.
Yeah, I agree.
I think someone could get a tremendous value with him, obviously, at that spot. But I do think that the medicals are a little bit worrisome. And anytime you're projecting a corner with a hip injury, I mean, like, that's kind of a tough sell. But
yeah,
as long as he's healthy, he's a tremendous football player, and he's got great eyes, and he's a really good, just kind of diverse corner. The question is, obviously, is that medicals and the longevity.
Jalen Walker, and had he been there when I did my mock, I'd have had him with the Saints. Because they now with the new 3-4 defense, you need a nose guard. Mason Graham's way off the board, but Walker would be a guy that would be a good fit. And he's versatile. I mean, because everything is hybrid today, Ryan. You play four-man front, or you stand up the 3-4 defensive end, outside linebacker. But your thoughts on Jalen Walker from Georgia?
I think he's going to be a player that whether you are a 3-4 base or you're a 4-3 base or even a 4-2-5 base, like, I think that you are going to love Jalen Walker, because at Georgia, he obviously had experience rushing off the edge, especially in sub-package situations, but he also played a lot of on the second level, you know, like not a 3-4 outside linebacker. Like, he's playing legit like a stacked backer, like a Will linebacker. So he's had experience playing from the second level. He's had experience on ball. He's had experience rushing off the edge. He's also had experience as a spy and a guy that blitzes through different, you know, interior gaps. So he's done a little bit of everything from Georgia, which is why I think that a lot of teams, whether you are a four-man or a three-man front, really do like Jalen Walker a lot. Like the Carolina Panthers, I think, are a team at, I think, pick 8 that are going to be a really interesting one for Jalen Walker, kind of a guy he's kind of a different version of like what they had with Frankie Louvu, who's now with the Washington Commanders a couple years ago, kind of a really versatile blitz aggressive style second-level defender. So I think that he is – Some will negatively coin him as a little bit of a tweener, but I think he's actually a guy that kind of just has strengths in so many different areas that in the modern NFL that is trying to manipulate defenders and get him in bad spots, he's a versatile player that even if you get him into a bad spot, he can still make a play because obviously he's a tremendous player.
Ryan, I think we've talked to you about like the Saints at pick 9 and how when you have so many needs like the Saints do, they just kind of got to go best player available. And so regardless of position, you just got to get the best guy to add to your team. And I want to get your thoughts on Malachi Starks, because Mike and I have projected offensive players to the Saints at pick 9. It's a very deep defensive line class, so you can get a defensive lineman in the second round or day 2 just in general. But I want to get your thoughts specifically on Malachi Starks, because when a lot of the times when you see a safety pit like kind of mocked in the top 15, top half of the draft, people kind of raise their eyebrow at this point. But, you know, he's a very talented piece from Georgia that I think is on a lot of people's big boards very, very high.
He is. And I think the negative that some guys run into a little bit, a perceived negative, is when you know a player for so long, and we had this with like Kyle Hamilton a couple years ago, and every single year you have a player like this, where you've known, like freshman year, you could see that Malachi Starks was going to be a dude. Like, it was very easy to see. So when he's been on the radar for so long, people get a little bored, right? Like, analysis paralysis is what we call it. Like, they just kind of like undervalue players that have just kind of been a really good player for so long. And then obviously holding against him as well is that he plays a position that is being semi undervalued on the NFL level, right? Like, I think that Kyle Hamilton was the best player in the draft overall a couple years ago, and he only went 14th overall, and we see safeties slide all the time. So I think if they draft him at pick 9, I think it's a great pick. I still think that he is a top 5 player in this class that is being undervalued just because we've known who he is since he's a freshman, and he plays a position that people don't perceive to really love that early in the round. But that kid has special range in the back end. He could also play in the slot if you need him to in man coverage. He can come down, and he's not like a punishing tackler, but he also just doesn't really miss tackles either, right? So, like, he can do a little bit of everything, play the slot, play from the roof. I think he's one of the better football players in this class that people are kind of underrating a little bit.
Ryan, when you look at this class, it's really deep at the running back position. And, you know, we know the guys at the top with Ginty. And then, you know, how you feel about Hampton or the two running backs from Ohio State. But give me a guy in the third, maybe a couple guys in the third and fourth rounds that you're keeping an eye on. Because we've seen that area of the draft really hit big in the National Football League. And even beyond that, with Kyren Williams, a guy you know a lot about too, that you think will be picked in maybe late in day 2 or very early in the third day.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys I can mention, honestly. Like you said, this is like an embarrassment of riches at running back. But my favorite running back in this class, Not a guy, again, that I don't think is the best, but the best value, I think, which is perfect for this question. I love DJ Giddens out of Kansas State. Like, that's my guy this year. He's a little over 6 foot, like 6 foot and 1/8. He's 216 pounds, at least he was before the season, verified by scouts. He's not he doesn't have the greatest long speed in the world. Like, that's going to be the negative on him. But, like, short area explosiveness, making guys miss in the hole, creating second effort runs, like, he has a lot of great traits as an early down ball carrier. I like DJ Giddens a whole lot. I think another guy that's been undervalued is Devin Neal out of Kansas. Now, he went down to to Mobile, and I think he had a really solid Senior Bowl week. But I think he honestly put on a little bit too much weight. He was like 212-ish for scouts before the season, but then last spring, excuse me, he was playing at the Senior Bowl. I think he went in at 220 pounds. So I would actually like him to lose a little bit of weight, because what he does really well for me is he makes guys miss in a phone booth. Like, he is really good in space, catches the ball solidly. He doesn't have an elite level trait, which is why he'll probably be available somewhere in the third to fifth round, like somewhere in that ballpark. But for me, if he lands in the right system, if you told me that Devin Neal is a 1,000-yard rusher in a season within the next 2 to 3 years, I would not be shocked at all about that.
Last one for you, Savion Jones. I saw him. Savion was a guy that played his high school football right up the road from where I live. When he came to LSU, his second number was a 2. He was 220-something. But, man, he could play basketball, too. He had great leaping skills, and then he got big. Coach Jenkins kicked him inside only because he needed interior players, and then they kicked him back out last year. And I thought he had a really solid year across the board, playing the run and also getting pressure. You watch him at the Senior Bowl, man, and I think he really stood out there in his hustle and his football instincts. But your thoughts on Savion?
I think both the LSU defensive ends have been a little bit underrated in this process so far. I like Braden Swinson, the other one. He's a really good player. I think Savion is, like, if you say a guy that is a 4-3 hand-in-the-dirt defensive end that could also reduce down and play in some three-man fronts at times, like, that's what it looks like, right? Like, this dude is 6'5". He's got long arms. He's a very densely built kid. I don't think he's great in terms of, like, looseness, outside track ability as an outside rusher, but as a guy that can play the run and then you can maybe move him into sub at times and let him rush from the interior, that's a day three value at that point, right? So I think some people are going to undervalue him a little bit just because it is a pretty deep edge class this year. It really is, and he doesn't really have kind of just, again, that bend flexibility that we really like on the edge. But to your point, that kid is physical. He's really aggressive, and I think that he did turn it on. Like, you saw it, like, the previous year, like, in spurts, whether he was playing inside and out a little bit, but, like, you really saw him kind of take a step forward, and he's a guy that I think is still starting to tap in a little bit. Like, I mean, Swinson's the same way. Like, I think him and Braden Swinson are kind of a little bit of late risers in their career, and I think their best football can be ahead of them, and they can be tremendous values wherever they end up being selected.
I'll put it to you this way, Ryan. If I'd have told them, the coaching staff at LSU, of the numbers Braden Swinson put up last year, I wouldn't have got a one hand up in the air. He was as big a shock to anyone on that staff and also people watching. He really hadn't stood out at all. Then all of a sudden, we start to see this guy emerge as a real terror as a pass rusher. And whatever clicked in him, it happened. And we saw him develop into a really good college player last season. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time and insights, buddy.
Thanks, Ryan.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All righty. Ryan Roberts does a great job for A to Z Sports covering college, the NFL, and also the NFL Combine. We come back, triple option, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long, Steve Gellert, our triple option feature. Steve, you go first.
Sports is like soap opera, guys, and we got a good one in the NBA tonight. Luka Doncic will be taking on the Dallas Mavericks. That's going to be a game in L.A., 9 o'clock start. Definitely be tuned into that. The over-under for Luka in points, 31.5. Man, I'm thinking he's going to go over that, guys. You got no Anthony Davis, no Daniel Gafford, and no Derek Lively in the game for the Dallas Mavericks. So I'm expecting Luka to show out big time, and he just had a 31-point game the other night.
Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with one of the underrated stories in the NBA this season, the Detroit Pistons, who are now 32-26 on a 7-game winning streak.
Wow.
And I saw this stat from a couple nights ago. The Pistons from 2022 through 2024 miserable three campaigns. They go 31 and 133 overall. And once again, as I just mentioned, guys, 32 and 26 this year. The season's not even over yet. They've already picked up more wins this year than they did in the prior 3 years combined.
And here's the worst part. They never had the first pick in the draft.
The 1 year they did was when they got Cade Cunningham. And he has had a breakout year, guys. He's looking at a potential, you know, all-NBA team this season for what he's done.
But to think, if you were an NFL team, you'd have had the first pick in the draft, what, the last 4 years?
It was kind of a curse, right? Like, they had a couple times where, and we talked about this the other day, about the lottery odds. And if you finish with the worst record in the NBA, the worst pick you can end up with is pick number 5. And it happened to him a couple times in that run. Right. But as far as Cade Cunningham goes, guys, this year, 25.8 points per game, 6.3 rebounds per game, 9.5 assists per game this season.
Now, that's impressive.
He's been fantastic for them. And, I mean, this is a team that's going to potentially be in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
Who'd have thunk it?
After the last 3 years that they survived, man, I feel happy for Pistons fans. Good on you.
48 years ago tonight, it was the Pistol, Pete Maravich, in the Superdome, scoring 68 points as the New Orleans Jazz beat the New York Knicks 124-107. Pete scored 68 points, and there was no three-point shot. Think of that. And here's the worst part. And Pete really kind of complained a little bit about it. He fouled out with about a minute left.
Oh, no.
And it was like, what? And it was a chintzy call. It was a chintzy call, but 68 points, it didn't matter who was on him. Walt Frazier, who goes down as one of the greatest defensive players in the NBA, could not guard him. Earl Monroe couldn't guard him. Butch Beard couldn't guard him. 68 points, no three-point shot.
Wow. I guess that must have also been when they called fouls on star players, Mike.
Man, but Pete could sling it up, dude.
Man, imagine Pete in today's NBA.
You wouldn't call him a player. You'd call him a partner. He'd be a part owner of a team.
There you go.
Man, Pete was just unreal to watch. He was legitimately Showtime. Before they invented Showtime, Pete was it. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Zach Nagy, Ryan Roberts for joining us in the last 2 hours. Steve, who you got coming up at 6:25?
We're going to be talking to Aaron Fick, co-editor and national writer for D1 Baseball. A little talking LSU, the second-ranked Tiger, actually third-ranked Tiger, sorry, are taking on number 18 Dallas Baptist tomorrow. Another top 25 preview head right there. Big test for the Bayou Bengals early on.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.